You know, I was thinking again this week, and I really appreciated that last song, Captivated. God loves us so. I think a lot of times we don't realize it because we're worried about salvation, we're worried about all the different things the Word has to offer, and we kind of forget that we're His people. And that He loves us dearly. And I thought, instead of going through, in Ephesians, we have a lot of promises, but I thought we'd go to John 3:16, because I don't know about you, but I grew up on that verse. And so I have 16 and 17 up there, and I want you to say it with me, okay? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Isn't that a great promise? Wow. And I think we really found that to be true in Ephesians chapter 1, as we had spent several months on Ephesians chapter 1, all the promises. And I think that after looking at that, looking at this verse tonight, isn't it great that we can marvel at God's giving love and promises to us? And God's giving has prompted me to ask the question over the last couple weeks, how do we love Him back? And the answer to the question for you and me is when He responds to the scribe who asked Him a question in Mark 12, starting with verse 28, and I'm going to read that one. Then one of the scribes, and there's a little bit about him, and I just put three dots, asked Him, Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, and you remember what that means, it means listen and do it. Listen, O harvest, and I put harvest in there because we're not Israel. We're Harvest Fellowship. Hear, O harvest, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, or the Lord alone, and you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. So this evening, I want to dwell on loving the Lord our God with all our strength. Because He's our God, amen? You know, imagine with me for a minute that it's Christmas morning or Christmas Eve whenever you exchange presents, and you get a package from under the tree, and it may have been handed to you or whatever, but you've got it in your hand, and on it you see a card, and you see the watermark on the card, and you realize it's a Hallmark Christmas card. And so, you know by all the commercials that when you open up that Hallmark card, you're going to probably tear up a little bit, right? Because they're always so great. And you know it's going to be meaningful, and everybody's staring at you, and you don't want to lose control. You know, I'm one of those kind of guys, when I cry, hold my mouth and hold my nose so I don't do it out loud if it gets really bad, you know, but you delicately open that envelope and slide the card out excitedly because this is from someone very close to you. And in the card, the handwritten note says, and could you change the slide for me? I love you with all my very. It's not very tear-jerking, is it? I love you with all my very. With all my very? What kind of sentiment is that? And who would buy a nice card and then write such an odd statement as that? But the strange phrase that you see on the card is the last line of the commandment as to how we are to love God back. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. And you remember heart was heart and thinking, emotions and thinking, with all your soul, your life, and with all your mind, that's an addition to heart, so we get it, and with all your very. Man, aren't you thrilled? With all your very. You know, Hebrew scholars find that phrase as strange as we do tonight. You can almost hear the crowd of puzzled Israelites in the wilderness murmuring when they hear Moses say, "And you are to love him with all your very." And they're thinking, "What, Moses? We wandered out here to hear love God with our very?" I mean, I can imagine they're probably thinking, "Oh, Moses, you forgot some kind of word in there. Or didn't you get your coffee this morning? Or was the smoke too thick at the top of Mount Sinai? What's the deal here? What's the very mean?" But that is the phrase. The word me'ad, very, is a common adverb that is used the same way as we use it in English. It would be the same as somebody comes and says, "How you doing?" You go, "Very well." Or, "Watch out, that's very hot." In Genesis 1:31, when God looks over all of his handiwork, he proclaims his creation as not just good, but mehad, very good. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Isn't that interesting? Very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. There's a Hebrew scholar named Randall Bath, and as he reads the Shema and writes about it, the Shema, and he writes about it, he says, the whole point of "with your very," part of that is that it is with all your oomph. God wants us to love him with all of his oomph. And the word itself pushes us to love God heartily and earnestly and zealously and passionately as we read it, and with the way it says, with all your might and with all your strength. The problem is, once we read those words in English, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength," we think it's resolved and we don't have to think about it much anymore. But every time a Hebrew listener speaks it and utters the phrase, it provokes them to meditate on what did God mean by every. Or very, sorry. What is that phrase really saying? Well, I think it's kind of neat myself after studying all week. I don't know if it's getting to feel neat yet to you. But I thought it was kind of cool. It's the same as any other love where we can't explain it. All of our very provokes us as well to meditate on what God is asking of us to love him back. And so this week as I studied this, pretty soon I thought, "Oh Lord, I love you with my very," and I've gotten kind of comfortable with that. Now if you remember, Jesus translated the Shema, the mind as well as the heart, with the life and then with all of our strength. And most scholars through the years have had an explanation of this mi'ad that most scholars today agree with. Love the Lord your God with all of your very increase. All right. Now, when I said that, I put on the bulletin here. I had Debbie put this on. Did you guys get a bulletin today? Did you grab one? Oh, you missed it. You missed it. It has a car here with all of these guys' stuff. Okay? And I think that has a lot to do with tonight. Love the Lord your God with all of your very increase, meaning your strength, meaning increase, meaning all of your money, all of your resources, all of your material goods. I looked on several Jewish websites this week and came across a predominant site, a very honored site in Jerusalem. It's Shema Israel, ayash.com. Now, they do a whole .com on the Shema, on trying to figure out especially what that last phrase means. And Rabbi Simmons says this, "To love the Lord your God with all your resources." So very would mean everything God hasn't covered in the first three words. Heart, soul, in mind. He says this, the final part of this verse says to love God with all of our resources, your resources. This is difficult to understand because typically the Torah presents a series as a progression from easiest to hardest. In other words, when God states something, he starts out easiest to hardest. And then when we answer, it's hardest to easiest. Isn't that interesting? And so God starts out with the easiest to hardest. So he says, here's the order. Love God emotionally. That's the easiest one, or the hard. And even be willing to give up your life. That's even harder. And even be willing to spend your money. That's the toughest, according to the rabbi. The heart, which is feelings, and the mind, the soul, which is life, and even forfeiting your life. And we talked about that last week. And the strength, which is everything else not mentioned in those words. Meaning all of your increase, all of your goods, everything that God has given you throughout your lifetime. Our wealth, our possessions, our family, our children, all our gracious gifts from him. Loving God with everything you have is a high calling, isn't it? When you stop to think about it. How do you share your resources? Or our money, as many scholars suggest. Obviously, we could stop and go, okay, wait a minute, sharing with the poor, right? We get to Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, when James, Cephas, who is Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcision, which is the Jew. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. Now, why would Peter, James, and John and Paul be so eager about the poor? Because every one of them were leaders in Israel, in the Christian Jewish community, and the desire to give to the poor came from a very act of love. And you remember, we talked about how it says, listen, listen, O Israel, listen, O Harvest. They're not only to listen, but they're to do whatever it says. And so when God comes down to all your increase, whatever that material goods, whatever that may be outside of you, they repeat it every day. Sometimes three times a day they say those same statements. They heard Jesus quote it, Peter, James, and John. Giving was a reflection of that verse, the Shema, that was spoken by their own lips daily. Paul mentions it again in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. I wanted to go through that whole thing, but I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to cover a couple verses here. He says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, not resentful, or of necessity or of requirement, for God loves a cheerful, a joyful, a hilarious giver. Now that's the act that we can give towards God. And then God, but it goes on and says this, but God is able to make all grace, all resources abound towards you. This is God's act of love towards us. He didn't ask us to do things that he doesn't do. That you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. And then he ties this finally up in verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. He gave Jesus Christ. That was God's very. Do you get that? That was God's very. He gave up his son for us. That's loving God with all your very. And the unbelievable piece to me is that he gives back. You give to him, and he gives back. And you probably found that if you started giving. And you do it on a regular basis. It just keeps coming back so that you continue to love him more and more. Not only with your heart and mind, not only with your life, but also with your very. Love God with all your very self. It's letting God be a part of every part of your life. You know, I think the real issue is God is asking us to give him space in every area of our life. Isn't that true? Every space in our life, he's asking that we let him be a part of that. And you know, we know that he listens to our hearts and our minds and our thoughts, and yet, why is it in the Christian life that we always have some kind of a holdout where we don't allow God to interfere or control? Somehow we're resistant in that area. You know, as I thought about this, and because part of it was resources and giving, I thought, well, you know what? In my early years as a Christian, my parents started going to church when I was about 6 years old, and they made me tithe. They made me give 10% all the time. If I babysat, it was 10%. If I mowed a lawn, it was 10%. Man, I hated it. I love it now because of what it taught me, but back then I hated it. And I can remember growing up and going through my early years and giving under the sense that I didn't like giving because I had this crazy notion that the logical thing was the more you keep, the more you have, right? Makes sense. And so I was real sparingly, and we were always out of money. And I probably didn't believe, or I certainly didn't for sure believe that it applied in my case. I'd read those words, but they wouldn't sink home. And so the concept is I give and I have more to give. So I have more to give, and he gives, so I have more to give. I don't get that. I still don't understand that principle, but it's a universal principle. It was illogical. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow a lot, receive a lot. Not so that we can hoard, so that we can give. We can give our very. And I didn't see it as an act or a love act to God. How about you? Have you ever thought about that before? That is demonstrating love to God. Isn't love for God giving everything we have? Doesn't that make sense? That you will love the Lord your God with your very resources. It's funny how, like I said, we hold back in our lives when it comes to God. And I don't know what it is for you. There always seems to be something. When I talk to people, there's always something. And it may be, God, don't touch my wallet. Touch every part of my life, but don't touch my wallet. Or Lord, I don't want to control my thoughts. Or, Lord, I want to keep my bad attitude because it makes me feel right and just for what people have done to me. Or I don't want to surrender to you because you'll make me do something in the ministry. You may even ship me over to Africa as a missionary. Or you may even feel like you have certain anger towards God because of, and you fill in the blank. Or I want the boyfriend I want, even if I have to compromise my morals. It's the only way I can keep him. Well, I don't think God minds if I cheat on my taxes. God has no idea what I've gone through. You supply your own holding back thoughts. You know, it's funny how we have all these reasons, and yet when we don't love Him in those areas, we are people most miserable. Isn't that true? We're miserable. You know, I think, metaphorically, God must scratch His head and think we're kind of goofy people. He called Israel stiff-necked. I think He'd call us goofy. If we just follow Him, we would have the least resistant path in this life. And yet we hold back. And maybe tonight it's time for you to reconsider on a few things that you know you're just not quite giving Him. When God says, love me with all your heart. Love me with all your soul, your life. Love me with all your mind and your thoughts and your understanding. And love me with your very rest of your life. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your very. That's His solution to cover in the rest. So what are you holding on to, my friends? I have to search my heart just like you search your heart, because there's always those places where there's a little bit of resistance. What are you holding on to? Let's pray. Father, we come tonight knowing that we hold on to things, knowing that there are places that we don't want You to go with us, places that we want to reserve and hold on to, places that we may even feel like we know better than You. And Lord, I pray this morning that we will, or this evening, that we will be captivated by Your love. Lord, I just pray tonight that You will really begin to help us see how we love You with our very person. All those things outside of us and all those things inside of us. And I pray that You will help us at Harvest to become lovers of You in ways that we never realized could happen. While our heads are